That is a Yamaha organ. We cannot find anybody that will work on it because it's a Yamaha. Somebody said take it down here to the motorcycle shop. They might work on it. We may just have to raise it up and put another one under it or something. Not bad for 20 years, though. 20 some odd years we've had the piano and organ. They've done us well. And this does have some problems. It's been doing pretty good. I spoke of it and shouldn't have, I guess. Tonight we will be dealing with another lesson in the heroes of Hebrews chapter 11. These men and women that are listed in this chapter are given to us an example to encourage us in the faith. Of course, as we have studied these different weeks, this will be our 10th lesson in Hebrews chapter 11. And we have quite a number more to go, probably not 10 more, but we've got quite a few more. And as we have looked at these different characters of the Scripture that refer back to the Old Testament, we find that these men and women are given to us to help us, to encourage us, that we can accomplish, we can do the work that God has for us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Verse number 1, it's the evidence of things not seen. And by it, that faith, the Bible says the elders obtained a good report. And so we began in this chapter. We began with Abel and went to Enoch and Noah, Abraham and Sarah. Different ones had been mentioned. The last time we were together, a couple weeks ago, on Sunday night, we were dealing with Isaac and Jacob. Tonight we deal with two more. I wanted to try to get these two together because you could go and you could make each one of them one in itself. But trying to stick as close as we can to the text here in Hebrews, and of course we do have to refer back to Genesis and Exodus to get more of the details. Hebrews just gives us an overview. Gives us a quick statement of how these folks obtained a good report and what they did. Tonight we deal with, first of all, verse number 22 of Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Here we find Joseph giving command concerning his bones. As Hebrews 11 was written to the Jewish Christians, these words were given, as I said a moment ago, not only to encourage our faith, but really and truly when the writer of Hebrews penned these things down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Jewish people were certainly in a hard time and they were having a difficult time with their Christian faith. Of course, they, being Jews, the Jewish nation had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and so that put them in a different category. Even though they were Jews, they were Christians, they were believers, and they were persecuted and had many struggles. And as the writer of Hebrews, under inspiration, writes, he gives us these words to encourage, primarily to encourage those folks that lived during that time, but also to you and I. Joseph, like Isaac and Jacob before him, demonstrated his faith right up to the very end of his life. For you see, faith is something more than just living by faith. It's also a dying by faith. We live by the faith of the Son of God, and also we leave this world in that same faith. And verse 22 here tells us about the faith of Joseph concerning his body after that he died. He knew he was going to die. He'd come to the end of his life, and he made this reference here to his bones or his body, that he did not want to be left in the land of Egypt. By faith, Joseph, when he died. Joseph's faith carried him all the way through his life. Joseph is one of the most interesting characters of the Old Testament, for in him you can find the Lord Jesus Christ about in every aspect of his life. I have a book up in my study written by Arthur Pink, and he gives over 100 ways that Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and goes into very minute detail. And so Joseph's life was involved very much in the faith that he had in the God of his fathers. And when we talk about the Old Testament characters, sometimes we talk about them being Christians, we talk about them being believers. Of course, their belief and their faith was in something that was going to happen. They believed the Word of God, they believed the message that God had given them, and I guess we really could not classify them as New Testament Christians in the same way, because we have a different view of it, but certainly they were believers in what God had told them, and therefore it was accounted unto them for righteousness, and therefore they were believers that would be carried to the Abraham's bosom, that is called, and then later be carried into heaven. And so Joseph was a man of faith all the way through his life. We find that everywhere he went, he exercised his faith in the God of his fathers. True faith can make you a survivor. A lot of folks today won't know how in the world we're going to survive where the things that are taking place and what's happening in our world and our country. How are we going to survive that? How are the churches? And I hear horror stories across our country of some churches that are undergoing much, much difficulty and many problems, and they have a lot of things taking place, and they say, how in the world can we survive? Well, the only way that we are going to survive is by that faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And really and truly, the only ones that can truly have that faith and that believing and have that understanding is that we have faith in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we will have His faith given to us throughout our life. Joseph's history was spotted by the hatred of his brothers, but the love of his father. And that carried him through. And of course, again, that is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. We preached this morning on he came to his own, and his own received him not. His brethren hated him. His brothers hated Joseph, and the brethren of the Lord, the Jewish people, they hated Christ. But yet he was loved of the Father. And so there's one of the types that Joseph is of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says here in this verse that by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. Now, when Joseph was alive, there was nothing nowhere close to the idea that Israel was going to leave Egypt. But Joseph, by faith, believed, and the Scripture says he made mention of their departing. He understood. He had in his heart, in his life, his mind, he understood that God was not going to leave the people of Israel in the land of Egypt, that idolatrous country, in which many of the Israelites had fallen prey to idolatry. But Joseph made mention in his dying statements that just do not leave, when you leave this world, when you leave this country, do not leave my bones in Egypt. Don't leave my body here. Turn back to the book of Genesis chapter 50 and we'll find the account that is recalled here in Hebrews. We'll find in chapter 50 and verse number 24. Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 24. The Bible says, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die." And Joseph knew he was going to die. And he understood the ramifications of what was taking place. And he said, "I'm going to leave this world." And verse 24 says, "I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry my bones from hence." And so here we find, this is literally a profession of Joseph's faith, in the things that God had promised unto him. And certainly you find in the life of Joseph, he never was a secret disciple. He always gave his words concerning the Lord. He always gave his words concerning his faith. When he was at his father's house, he was a faithful man, a faithful young man. When they put him, his brothers put him in the pit, he was faithful to God. When he got into Egypt in Potiphar's house, he was faithful to God. He did as he was supposed to do. Even when he was in prison, I didn't list the prison, but even when he was in prison, he was faithful to God. And when he comes to the palace, he is faithful. So Joseph's life is a life of faith. And so that was his profession. And he was persuaded. He says, God will surely visit you. He says, I die and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land, or the land which is swear by Abraham. And then verse 25, he says again, God will surely visit you. Two times in two verses, Joseph tells us here that God is going to visit the Jew while they're there in Egypt, and he's going to bring them out. And Joseph said, don't leave my bones in Egypt. Now take them with you and carry them out. Carry my bones out. He not only walked by faith, but he lived by faith and he died by faith. Believing the statements of God and believing what the Lord had told him, he knew he was going to die in Egypt. He knew he would be buried there. But he said, don't leave them here. And so he took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will visit you and you shall carry my bones from hence. When you leave, don't leave me here. And so here we find that Joseph had faith, and the proof of his faith is that God would surely visit them. And when he does, and when you leave, you bring my bones with you. The directions that Joseph had to his people was to make sure that he was not left in the land of Egypt. Now when you think about Joseph, you think about where he was. Joseph was high-ranking ruler in Egypt. He could have done and had his... I read someone on this, and I put it down here. It says he could have written out his own directions for his elaborate funeral, and he could have. He could have made sure that everything in Egypt was just as it's supposed to be, and he could have had a great burial, and he could have been put in one of the pyramids probably. But he said, no, I'm not interested in that because I have a far greater place. I wanted to go to the land of Abraham, the land of Isaac, the land of Jacob. And Joseph, by his faith, he told those people and made reference to them concerning his bones and how that he desired not to be left there. He may have been in Egypt, but his heart was in Canaan. You know, we may be in this world, but as a believer, our heart is on heaven. Our heart is before us. Our heart is upon that which one day will come unto us. And so, verse number 22 there in Hebrews tells us, and then Genesis 50 tells us of the more details about that, of what Joseph in his life. And of all the things that Joseph did in his life by faith, the one thing that is mentioned in the book of Hebrews 11 is when he died. It doesn't tell us about his faith when he's in the prison. It doesn't tell us about his faith. That wasn't what had put him in the Hall of Fame. It wasn't his faith when he was there in Potiphar's house, how he stayed true to God. It wasn't about his faith at home. It wasn't about the dreams that he had and how he literally delivered the nation of Egypt during that famine and delivered Israel, and delivered his own family. Those things are not mentioned in Hebrews 11. It seems as though that would be what would be important about his life. But the Holy Spirit has pulled this one thing out and said, just write it down about Joseph's faith. When he died, he said, God's going to visit you. God's going to carry you out of here. And when God takes you out, you take me out. And so what a blessing it is to know the faith that Joseph had, and how that the Holy Spirit pulled out that one little segment of his life concerning his faith. Now we come to verse number 23. Now, if I was to ask you, before you read maybe the title, if I was to ask you tonight, who were the parents of Moses? Would anybody be able to tell you? Could you do that? Now, they're not mentioned too much in the Scripture, but you know, there's not a whole lot mentioned about John the Baptist's parents, but we know who they were, Elizabeth and Zacharias. We know those. We know the parents of other people. But it seems as though these folks have sort of gone off into obscurity. And if it wasn't for a couple of verses in the Old Testament, we would not know their name. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Now, verse number 3 is the faith of Moses' parents. Their name was Amram and Jochebed. Ah, strange names. They're found in the book of Numbers. They're found in the book of Genesis and a couple of places. I wrote down, I put out Numbers 26 and verse 59. And if it wasn't for these few places, we wouldn't know their name. And again, the Holy Spirit doesn't seem to call attention to their name, but He calls attention to their faith. He calls attention to their belief and their practice and their understanding of what God had in store for their boy that was born. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Numbers 26, verse 59. And the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt. And she bare unto Amram Aaron and Moses and Midian, their sister. Here's the three children. And they're all active in the Word of God. Of course, we know Aaron was the helper of Moses. He is the one that was the spokesman for a while for Moses. When Moses said he was slow of speech and could not articulate words well, and so Aaron became his spokesman, but it didn't take long for Moses to be the spokesman, and every time something was said, Moses was doing the talking. So he got over that timidness. But Aaron was very active in the Old Testament. And then, and his sister, we find also Miriam, and here those his sister is active, even in this portion of Scripture that is given to us in the book of Hebrews, and is explained in the book of Exodus. But it came time for Moses to be born. There was, I'm sure, a lot of anxiety, a lot of problems. Because you will remember that there has been a decree given out that all the male children are to be cast into the river. They're to be destroyed. And the Pharaoh gives the midwives instruction that when children are born and they see that it's a boy, they just throw it in the river. They destroy it. And we read that in Exodus chapter 1. And so when that decree was given, I'm sure it became a time of a real anxious heart and life to people that were of the Jews. When it came time for Moses to be born, his parents were concerned about, when they looked upon him, they knew there was something goodly about him. Saw he was a proper child. And when they saw that Moses was born, they began to exercise some real faith. They begin immediately to put into practice and put into operation how they're going to at least do their best to save this little boy that they call Moses. And the Hebrew rendering of that is Moshe. Remember, it hadn't been too long, many years ago, that they had a great leader of Israel. His name was Moshe Dayan, and that his name was Moses. And so there's the boy Moses, the baby. And they began to exercise their real faith. And I'm sure they faced the greatest crisis that they'd ever faced. What would you feel? What would you think if we lived in a government that said, you must destroy the baby boy when he's born? What would we do? Well, their faith was put to the test. And they were enabled by their faith to take care of that little baby for 3 months. And of course, God in His grace and mercy took care of that baby all of his life. Now, by faith, the Bible says in verse number 23 that Moses' parents, many of the people in the land of Israel at this time, I wrote down Ezekiel 20, verses 6 through 8. You'll find that during the time the Jews were very much apostatized. They had gone away from God. It's not like they had a church congregation and everybody said, let's take care of all of our baby boys. They were almost literally in that setting. They were set aside because they had faith in God. Most of their counterparts, most of the other people of that time, they were away from God and didn't care about God. And you know, when you don't care about God, you don't care about doing away with your children anyway. We see that in our own country. And this is not any different there than it is here. Maybe timing's a little different. But these folks, Amram and Jochebed, they believed that God would help them and that their faith was exercised. Amram had been one of the slaves. He was one of the Egyptian, one of the slaves of the Egyptians. He was one of those that had had the extra work put upon him. If you go back to the book of Exodus, you'll find that they were much afflicted, and the Bible says the more they were afflicted, the more they multiplied and grew. And so Exodus tells us that as persecution came, so did explosion of their population. And so the old Pharaoh, now this is a Pharaoh now that did not know Joseph. It's not the same Pharaoh as a title. It's like we have president. Pharaoh is not, every time you hear the word Pharaoh, it's not the one that Joseph dealt with. And so this Pharaoh that is over the rule of Egypt, he sees that they're multiplying. He says, if we don't do something, they're going to overrun us. If they don't do so, if we don't take care of this, there's going to be more of them than there are of us. And so he devised this plan that they would kill the babies and the midwives wouldn't do it. Now, they didn't do what Pharaoh told them to do. And so he devised another plan that just says they'll be thrown in the river. And so that's the connection here with what took place. I put there number C under Roman numeral 1 on this part. Faith does not depend on our outside conditions, but it does depend on the conditions of the heart. Our faith is not determined by what's out there. Our faith is determined by what's in here. And these two people, the parents of Moses, they exercised great faith. This was a home that was sold out to God. It had to be. If it wasn't, then they would have not resolved to do what they did. And sometimes I have read some commentaries that wondered about Jochebed, wondered about him, why he's not mentioned here in Hebrews 11. Well, it doesn't have to be. The parents, that word parents includes mom and dad. And we're told in Numbers where Red gives us his name. So I believe it was a household agreement. We're going to do all we can to take care of this little boy and this baby that we're calling Moses. He was a proper child. The Scripture says there in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw. They looked at him and they saw that he was a proper child. Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 2 says, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. So the word proper and the word goodly are basically the same thing. It just simply means it was his appearance was one that was good, and his appearance was one that was good to his mother and his father. They recognized that God was going to do something for this boy, and they hid him for 3 months. I've always wondered how in the world did they hide Moses 3 months? Because you couldn't have any boys crying. You couldn't have the the problems sometimes that babies bring. Of course, maybe his crying was hidden those months, but it got to the point they couldn't hide him any longer at their home. And the story goes on. The book of Acts chapter 7, and verse number 20 says that Moses was exceeding fair. Moses was a good, godly, goodly, proper person in his outward appearance. If you look up those things there in Acts chapter 7, literally the Greek wording here means that he was fair to God. God saw him. God knew him. God knew exactly what was going to take place. And he was pleased by this man more than just what his eye saw, but what God knew about Moses. Notice here the priority of the faith. They hid him 3 months. The number one priority of that family for those 3 months was hiding Moses. He's a proper child. He's a goodly child. He's a fair child. And the priority in that home was not to have the luxuries of that day, if there were any. The priority was not to do what everybody else was doing. Their priority was to take care of that baby. And the sovereign king of Egypt had said, "You got to kill him." I'm glad, thank God, there's a sovereign God. He has a different decree. And God took care of him. And God took care of the needs that they had. And they certainly, priority-wise, was doing what God wanted them to do. They hid him. And that demonstrated their priorities were right. And faith is always better than the flesh. Now the flesh says, "I can't do it." How can you hide a baby 3 months? Flesh says, "There's no way." But faith says, "We're going to do it." Faith says, "Yes, we can." Flesh says, "No, we can't." And that's about the same message of anything we do for the Lord. The flesh says, "You can't be saved." But faith says, "We're saved by grace." The flesh says, "I can't do anything for God." But faith says, "There's nothing impossible with God. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And so there is a world of difference between this old flesh and the faith that we have. And so they saw that he was a proper child. They saw that he was right and that there was something different about him. And so they hid him 3 months. And hiding Moses those 3 months demonstrated their faith in the Lord. Now, the Bible says back in Hebrews chapter 11 says, they hid him 3 months because they saw he was a proper child. And then it says, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were not afraid of what the king had commanded them. Brother, when you can have no fear of what the king commands, you got peace with God. Now, if someone's to burst through that door tonight and they had a submachine gun, and they said, "We cannot do what we're doing," that would bring fear upon us, naturally speaking. But these folks, because of their faith, they wasn't afraid. The king said, "You got to destroy him." They just said, "But God's going to help us." God said, they said, "God will take care of it." You see, faith in the Lord is a remover of fear. And one of the first times you'll find the words "fear not" is when God was talking to Abraham. God says, "I'm with you, Abraham. Fear not." And you find that phrase all the way through the Scripture. I'm glad, thank God, I don't have to fear what takes place in this world. I don't have to have fear of surrounding conditions, because our faith will deliver us through that. Faith will allow us to do some strange things. Peter walked on the water for a little while, but his flesh took over and he began to sink. And then the Lord took over and took him on his arm and carried him back to the boat, and he was arrived safely. And so we have peace with God because of our faith that we have in the Lord. Now the Bible says they hid him for 3 months. There's the protection time. There's the time at home for 3 months. And then they took him to the Nile River. Now they did not break the law. I thought that was interesting. If you'll read the decree given back in the book of Exodus, chapter 1, you'll find that Pharaoh said, verse 18, the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, "Have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptians." Well, that was a good point. People of God is not like the people of the world. And the midwife said, when they are ready to give birth, they give birth. And we don't have an opportunity. You see, they didn't want to do what the king told them to do. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all of his people, "Every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." So the decree was, every boy cast into the river. Well, that's what Amram and Jacob did. They cast him in the river. He just happened to be in a little basket. And he was there. And God gave him protection at home for 3 months. God gave him protection at the Nile River. Hebrews 11 does not speak of the ark that they made that's given to us in Exodus 2. But we have the story how they made an ark and had a plan. And I got all these numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And Exodus chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "And the woman conceived and bare a son when she saw him as a goodly child. She hid him 3 months, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. So she put him in a little basket. It was pitched within and without." Now the Bible calls it slime here. The pitch is sort of like a tire that would make it waterproof. The ark was pitched within and without. It represents the atonement or the covering. And so they put him in the river, in the flags, in the growth by the brink of the river. But he was in the river. They did not break the commandment. You see, there are times that we can live for God, and we don't have to break the law. We don't have to be law haters and breakers. We can live for God. And they did not break the commandment. They put him in the river, and they had a plan for that to happen. And Moses was placed there. And there's a time it was left there until he was rescued. The construction, it tells you, he was wrapped. The basket was with slime and pitch. And it was like a mortar and a tire to keep out water. The placement of the ark was in the flags by the river's brink, and that was to keep it from floating downstream. They had it all planned out. God was giving them every detail. And it just happened to be, that they put him there where the princess washed, where the daughter of Pharaoh bathed herself. Of course, you know the story, how that she sees the baby and takes him. And Miriam is over there, the sister. She's watching that little ark there in the bulrushes. And she's watching what takes place. And all of a sudden she sees this princess of Egypt. And if you read about this portion of history, historians tell us that this princess had no children. And she greatly desired to have a child. But she had no child of her own, and so that's why it was so very easy for her to be attached to this little Hebrew boy that was supposed to die. You see how God overrules the affairs of men? God takes care, God oversees, oversights. And so she's watching all of this, and the princess comes and washes and bathes herself, and Miriam moves very quickly, and she comes and she offers to find somebody to take care of that baby. And isn't it an amazing thing that she goes back and she gets her mother, Moses' mother, and she said, "Mom," now I'm paraphrasing, "Mom, you'll never guess what happened down there by the river." And maybe the mother's almost in tears. But she said, "Mom, the princess, the daughter of Pharaoh, has found the baby." Maybe the mom thinks, oh, there's no hope now. But the next words out of Marion's mouth is that she's going to take that baby and she needs somebody to take care of the baby and she wants you to come. And mom, she's going to pay you. Now the Scripture says that. Maybe not in those words, but the Scripture says that. The Scripture says that she goes and gets her mother, and Pharaoh's daughter tells her to go find someone, and she said, I will pay. I will take care of the expenses of that one, and the wages, expenses that will be incurred by taking care of this baby. Only God could do something like that. And one of the greatest men of history in the Jewish history or world history is this man that we're just going to study in these next two or three weeks. Moses takes up as much space as more space, second only probably to Abraham, in the book of Hebrews. But it all starts in verse number 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, the decree had been given to kill him. But by faith, when he was born, was hid 3 months. And you ought to underline those three next words, of his parents. I believe it's the desire of every godly parent to take care of their children. This thing of not taking care of children is anti-God. It's anti-biblical. It's unscriptural. And so they saw that Moses was a proper child. And so they did everything in their power to take care of Moses. And God overruled all the powers of a great kingdom, the greatest kingdom up to that time, the land of Egypt. And God overruled, and not only was Moses taken care of, but he is raised by his own parents. Now, he may have lived in the palace, but he was raised in the home of Amram and Jochebed. In my mind's eye, I can think about maybe some of the afternoon discussions, the night discussions, how that mother and father would bless the Lord for what God had delivered to them. All the other boys had been killed or were being killed, but here their child is saved. And he's saved for a purpose. That one day, Moses is going to be a great deliverer. Now, Moses is born here. But it's going to be another 80 years before he really makes an impression upon the land of Israel. So there's going to be some time in his life, some things that have to take place. There's some learning lessons. There's some things that have to be dealt with in his life. But surely, truly, he was a proper child. And God used him in a great way to deliver the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And he was raised by his own parents, his own mother, as his nurse. He had all the luxuries of the palace and of the kingdom. And literally, he was in line for the throne of Egypt because his daughter had no other children. And she adopted him as hers. And so the Scripture tells us that Moses, it came a time in his life that he had to choose. He had to make a decision. And he chose the affliction of the people of God than to have all the pleasures that Egypt had to offer. A great story given about Moses, all because two people, a mom and a dad, that just believed God. May God help us to have that understanding and that faith as Amram and Jochebed. Now, the next time you hear those two names, if you ever hear them again, maybe you'll remember who they are. Next time you read this passage of Scripture, maybe you say, hey, I know their name. It's given to us in the Word of God, the Scripture, Moses, Aaron, and the sister. Remember. All right, let's stand tonight and thank God for His blessings and ask Him to help us to have the faith that these folks had. To have the faith as has been given to us up to this point. And then as parents, may God help us to have the faith that Moses' parents had to do what was right concerning the child.